already talking about the Liga, I think. The Liga. Oh, yeah, you know, I sent you.
No, I didn't.
Okay, maybe you can just check your email. Did you get it?
So, we need to figure that out.
Yeah, something, yeah.
You want to do it?
I can make it.
Yeah, yeah.
إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يدخلون الجنة الذين يحمدون الله في السراء والضراء كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to come for this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. We thank God to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He removes all of our problems from our lives. He grants us solutions that we need. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives us afiyah and afu in this dunya and akhirah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our Muslimin brothers and sisters who are suffering all over the world. We may Allah give them the protection and safety that they need. And resurrect us with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders in Islam. We are the ummah of shukr, we are the ummah of gratitude. We are always here to show gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something of our nature, and even psychologically speaking, the more a person is grateful, the more happy and content they are. And a lot of times we try to find happiness in material things. A lot of times we try to find happiness in material things. And although I've been reading reports and things like that, people saying that the more money you have, the more happy you will become, I think by mushahada and just by what we witnessed in life, where a lot of celebrities and a lot of people who are millionaires, even billionaires, right? If you have $1 million, you have $1 million problem. If you're a billionaire, you have $1 billion problems, you know? So there are different problems that people experience. I don't think it's correct to say that happiness is a function of material. Rather, happiness is a function of the soul. The more a soul becomes happy, the more a soul becomes content, the more happy a person will feel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our souls for Him, right? Allah created our ruh for Him. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more a person shows shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more happy a person will feel. That's why you find that the Western countries are more depressed, and you find the Muslim countries being more happy. It's also something with the weather and the cold. A lot of people come to me in the winter time saying, Sheikh, I'm feeling depressed, Sheikh, I'm feeling anxiety, Sheikh, I'm feeling this and that. I'm like, yeah, because it's getting colder. Generally, just people in colder countries just feel a little bit more depressed. If you want to feel happy, just go back to India, Bangladesh, Pakistan. You know? you'll feel much happier, mashallah, I guarantee it. And that's why you find farmers in the weirdest parts of the world just extremely happy, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, we are receiving more and more from Allah, but we're not becoming more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's our weakness here. And so what is this depression? What is this huzn? What is this sadness, right? What is this dunya in reality? People are thinking that we came to this dunya to become happy. And I'll tell you, the reality is that you did not come here to become happy. You did not come here for surur. You came here for ubur, right? You did not come here to become happy. You came here to leave here. That's what this dunya is for leaving. Everything in this world is for leaving. We did not come into this world for becoming sad either. Sadness is not the reality of this dunya either. This world wasn't created for sadness or happiness. It's not the place. It's not the maqsad of this place. What is the objective of the dunya? The objective of the dunya is الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it a sunnah that everyone recited every single night Surah Al-Mulk, and recite this ayah is what? الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ. Allah that created death, والحيات, and life, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ, to test you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to just see who's the best in action. A lot of us get misconstrued. We misinterpret the meaning of the dunya. We think we're supposed to be here forever. And because we think here we're supposed to be here forever, we're supposed to be happy forever. This place is not the place of eternal happiness. It's not the place of eternal sadness. What is the place of eternal sadness? It is Jahannam. What is the place of eternal happiness? It is Jannah. The only way you can say that you're truly happy is when a person can walk into Jannah. وَمَنْ زُحْزِي عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully in the Quran. He says when a person is saved from the fire of Jahannam and put into Jannah, that is true success. It is not that a person finds success, temporary success in this life. And I want to remind everyone here that we deal with depression and sadness in strange ways. And I'm not saying the clinical medical depression. When it comes to the clinical and medical depression, you have to go to a doctor or a psychologist to help you out with that. And there's actual clinical depression. But it's not to say that everyone is suffering from the same thing. Majority of the times, we're just going through the phases of a Muslim. What are the phases of a Muslim? Imam Junaid rahimahullah ta'ala said that a non-Muslim, a disbeliever, will experience a change in their self once every 40 years. They'll feel a change in themselves once every 40 years. تَغَيَّرَ بَعْدَ عَبْعِينَ سَنَةً. Right? He will change after 40 years. وَالْمُسْلِمُ يَتَغَيَّرُ أَرْبَعِينَ مَرَّةً فِي يَوْمٍ وَاحِدٍ. He said that but a Muslim will change 40 times in a single day. A Muslim will change 40 times in a single day. You'll feel happy at one time, sad another time, excited another place, depressed another. It's just part of this phases of becoming of being a Muslim. What is this depression? What is this sadness, my brothers and elders and sisters in Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this thing to remind us of something. One Shaykh said it beautifully. He said that when Allah ta'ala gives you a ni'mah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a ni'mah, one benefit, one blessing, then Allah ta'ala is whispering to you. And when Allah ta'ala gives you a niqmah, a trial, a calamity, Allah ta'ala is shouting at you. I ask everyone here, when we're having a good time in life, do we remember Allah ta'ala more? Or was it when we go through some type of anxiety, we say, Allah, Allah, Allah. This is how we are, unfortunately speaking, this is how we are. We can change it, you can change it. That every single time a good thing happens, you become more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we're just less likely to remember Allah when a good thing happens. And when a bad thing happens, they say, Mawlana Sahib, Hazrat Shaykh, please come and help me. They come pray five times a day, mashallah. They're doing all the khidmat that they need to do. Because why? Because now we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is, you always need Allah. You always need Allah. Never has it been just because of depression or sadness that we need Allah ta'ala more. It's depression and sadness, we need Allah. Happiness, we also need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to make that constant state of shukr. That's why you and I, every single day, every single salah, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. To remind ourselves of this gratitude. All praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. In happiness and sadness, in good times and bad times, when it snows or it shines, we still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're grateful to Him at every single moment of our life. This is the goal of life. One thing people do when they go through this depression or sadness is what? They isolate themselves. The first thing they do is they isolate themselves. They make themselves alone. And I tell you what, it's Shaytan's goal is to make you alone. His name is Shaytan. It's derived from about two words. One is Shayt, the other one is Shatana. Shatana means ihtaraqa ghadaban. That when a person Shatana means when a person is extremely angry. Shaytan is derived from that word of being extremely angry. Because he himself is super upset and super angry. So what he does is he tries to make every single son of Adam alayhi salam, every single human being experience this anger too. And the other word that is derived from is shayt. Shayta means to be very distant. Shaytan wants that every single one of us become alone. Because when you're alone with your thoughts and you're alone with Shaytan. He wants you to be alone with him. When you're alone with him, he can give you every single waswas in the world. One thing happens, he makes you think of something even worse, and even worse. Goes through a very bad cycle. The way you break that is actually you come to the jama'ah, you come together with people. Shaytan does not want that though. So he makes you say that, what can people help you with? What's the benefit of going to people? They don't understand you. They don't understand you. But it's not about just because people understand you or not. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands you. He created you and I. He made us as social beings. You and I are people that have to be around society. The more you're around people, the more happy you'll become. That's why we tell people that people when they're feeling depressed or sad, come to the Masjid of Allah. You'll find people praying here, mashallah ta'ala. You'll find people here being together. And there's a happy, good environment here. And so people get better. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it so beautifully. He said what? إِنَّ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ الْقَاصِيَةِ. He says that the wolf will eat the sheep that's by itself. Shaytan will devour a person when they're by themselves. He will eat them and devour them. He will make them feel the worst things ever. But once they come back to the jama'ah, every single day meeting people, eventually the heart becomes happy. Point number one is what? When we're dealing with anxiety or depression, we have to be around people. The more you're around people, of positivity, not negativity. We're, again, mashallah, because we're from the majority Desi community, a lot of us just negative people, man. Negative people. What is our alhamdulillah? When I say, brother, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah. But. Alhamdulillah, but. We're not even making shukr properly, ya Allah. We're just saying Alhamdulillah because that's just the thing we say. We should just say Alhamdulillah. So that's why we say it. But we don't actually feel the gratitude. Same way we go home and do the tasbih of I love you, I love you, I love you. But the I love you is not coming from the heart. So the feeling of the wife is not changing. Because we're not saying I love you from the bottom of our hearts. How many years has it been? How many years has it been since we said I love you to our wives in a proper way? We said it on the first day, second day of marriage, and 1 year, 2 year goes by, I don't even remember how to even say it properly. It doesn't come out the mouth, it hurts. La ilaha illallah. When we say Alhamdulillah, it should come from the bottom of the heart. That we actually experience it, we experience it. We feel that gratitude. And that's what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the best example for us, in good times and in bad times. And people don't know the Prophet. That's why they think, oh, he just lived a very comfortable, happy life. He did not live a very comfortable and happy life. He was made as an example for all of mankind. And so Allah made it that he would go through the worst trials of life. He really did. He went through things that you and I go through on a regular. He went through things that you and I go through on a yearly basis. He went through things that you and I go through on a life basis. He went through things that you and I would never even experience. He went through his becoming an orphan. Right, he had no mother or father. He went through losing his uncle. He went through losing his grandfather. He went through trials with his friends. He went through experiences with his wife, right? Emotions at home. He went through people accusing his wife of zina. You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu experienced things with his followers. He experienced people trying to kill him on a regular. You know, alayhi salatu wasalam. He went through a lot of things. A lot of depression, a lot of sadness. And Allah captures a lot of it in the Qur'an. He really does. A lot of the Qur'an you'll find, it's just to make the heart of the Prophet alayhi salam just feel comfortable. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He went through so many things, Allah says, لا تحزن. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكِ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah says, we know that it hurt your heart. We know that it made you feel bad, whatever they said. We know they called you a liar, a magician. They called you Majnoon, they called you crazy. And it made you feel terrible, Ya Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, don't worry. Just keep worshipping, just keep worshipping, just keep worshipping. One of the most fundamental parts that you and I recite every single, majority of our salats, is this one short surah. A surah of about 10 words. That Nabi ﷺ's gham and hum was captured in there. That he had a son. It's either his son was Abdullah or his son was Ibrahim. And he was so happy to have this son. And I remind everyone here that we go through a lot of things in life. But I think that everyone can agree with me. One of the worst trials and tribulations is to lose a child. One of the worst things in all of life, all of dunya, is to lose a child. If you have wealth, you can replace it. You lost a job, you can replace it. Even our mother and father, we know that one day they have to go. But you don't expect your children to leave you before you leave. You don't expect your children to go before you go. And so this is a very hard trial. And it's not just losing the child. You expect people around you to say, we're so sorry for you. We hope that everything will be okay. We hope everything will be fine. Don't worry, Allah will give you better. Allah will reunite you with your children. What did the Prophet ﷺ experience when he lost his child? Of about less than a year old. He finds that he's at home, feeling depressed and saddened. His wife is with him, also depressed and saddened. And then what did he hear from his neighbor? His neighbor, that is, you know, their walls were very thin. So he's hearing from his neighbor, they're partying and happening. Batara Muhammad, Batara Muhammad, Abtara Muhammad, Abtara Muhammad. They're saying, Muhammad has been cut off, Muhammad has been cut off. He has no progeny, he has no lineage. This Islam that he's preaching is going to die after he dies. They are celebrating when his children died. And so the Prophet ﷺ is feeling depressed already because his child is gone. And now he's feeling the next level of anxiety because why? His enemies are celebrating that his children are gone. You and I will never experience that in life. People will at least show some compassion and love. But his own uncles would not even show him happiness and sadness. I'm sorry, they would not show him that remorse because of his children dying. Alayhi salatu wassalam. So Allah Ta'ala, he reveals a very short surah for the Prophet ﷺ. And it's a very magnificent surah that you and I recite and we don't really appreciate any of it. We recite it so quickly, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, then we just say, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli rabbika wanhar. We have to reflect on the surah. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. What was the story about? That the Prophet ﷺ lost a child. You'd expect that if I talk to you, if I'm going through counseling, I'll talk to you about the child that you lost. I'll try to go through it. I'll try to reason with you and explain it, that you lost a child, right? But what is the first ayah of Surah Kawthar? It's not about a child. It's not even about anything negative. It's something about something extremely positive. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have granted you enormous good, O Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. What is this telling us? As a reminder, that you and I will always, if it's negative, we want to focus on negativity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when you're going through depression and sadness, do not focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. Look at all the positive things in your life. You lost one thing. This entire dunya is about losing things. No one came into this world except they're going to lose. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Every human being is going through loss. We're always going to be losing. No matter what it is, every single day of life, we're losing life. We're always going to be losing when we came to this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't focus on negative. Focus on positive. Focus on the good things about life. Focus on things that you still have. You still and I still have a lot. We always forget about the things that we have. You forget the fact that you have arms. You forget the fact that you have fingers. The fact that you have eyes and a nose and ears. You forget the fact that we have a family to go back to. We forget that we have a fact that we have a house to go to. If you and I were one of the Uyghur Muslims, you really appreciate all the ni'mah that we had. We don't understand these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar." O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely without a doubt we've given you kawthar. Now the word kawthar is one of those magnificent words in Arabic. You could have just said kathir. You could have just said kathir, right? Kathir is just the standard. We've given you a lot. Kathir is the word used for a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave you kawthar. This is like when you say in Urdu, like, bohot, right? Like, it's like, bohot, you're capturing that in kawthar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad alayhi sallam, we have granted you the kawthar. The ulama have given 16 to 26 different opinions about what is this magnificent good that the Prophet ﷺ received. Some of them said it's the character of the Prophet ﷺ. That the Prophet's character is one of the greatest goods that Allah gave him. The fact that he's so tolerant, he's so forbearing, he's so kind. They say that the smile of the Prophet ﷺ is one of the great kawthars that the Nabi ﷺ received. You and I have a great smile, mashallah. You guys have a great face, mashallah. You have so many things to be grateful for, the character, the things that you have. They say that the Prophet ﷺ received the Qur'an. The Qur'an is the kawthar of the Prophet ﷺ. That he has this amazing book that came to him. The fact that he's Akhirun Nabi, the last Prophet ﷺ. The fact that he had such great friends and companions. Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There's so many ni'mas that you and I have, but we don't even appreciate these things. The Prophet ﷺ received this and this and this and this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word a'tayna. A'tayna. We usually pronounce this wrong. We say a'tayna. A'tayna and a'tayna are two different words, but they both mean to give. When you say atu zakah a'tayna, it means that usually you use the word ata for giving you a lot. When you say ata, you give a lot. When you say a'ta, it's not giving a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word a'ta because why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is depicting, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we've given you kawthar, but it doesn't fit you. You deserve more than this, alayhi salatu wasalam. A'tainaka al-kawthar. We didn't a'tayna. We didn't give you a lot, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We gave you a little bit. Because you deserve so much more than this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is this kawthar? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his head down when these ayahs were revealed. And he picked his head up and he smiled. And he said, Oh my sahaba, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me kawthar. What is this kawthar? He said, it is a nahar in Jannah. It is a nahar in Jannah. And it leads down to this pond. And this pond that is outside of, on the Maidan of Hashar, is on the field of the Day of Judgment. And on that pond, there are so many cups there. The Prophet says, عَدَدَ النُّجُومِ السَّمَا. That it's the cups are the numbers of the stars in the sky. How many stars in the sky, my brothers and elders and sisters in Islam? You know, I can't even count the numbers of the sky. The Prophet said, that's how many numbers of cups that I have on that on there. He said that the sand and the soil around Kawthar is made out of gold and silver. And it has this most sweetest musk. And the water itself is sweeter than honey. It's such a refreshing drink. The Prophet ﷺ said that I am put onto that haud, I am put onto that kawthar, I am put onto that pond, so that I have the cups, and I'm going to give it to every single one of my ummah, the Prophet Muhammad's ummah. The Prophet ﷺ is told that you will be the one to give all these cups to your children. Your children. Because why? Because every single one of us is connected to Nabi ﷺ like that. They said you're cut off, O Ya Rasulullah. They said you're cut off, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said that you're going to, after you die, your Islam's not going to spread. But looking at you and I here today, all the way in America, where was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah and Medina? And look at us in America, we're worshipping the same Allah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us about. The same Islam that he had, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you and I have. It's something so beautiful about this Islam, and I mean it. That if you and I go to any other country and go to any other masjid, we go and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to any of the brothers, they give you what? Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're connected through this, right? People ask you, where are you from? Where are you? Just because you're Muslim. Because we're all connected through Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala reminds him, Ya Rasulullah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry that one of your children died. You have tons and tons and millions of children that will live on after you. That these are the ones here. When you and I recite Surah Kawthar, none of us experience this feeling. That when Allah Ta'ala said, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, you and I are from the kawthar of Nabi alayhi wa sallam. The fact that the pond is something, the fact that the drinkers are coming is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is waiting for. He wants to see his entire ummah there. You and I are part of this. When you and I are experiencing any sadness or grief, when you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, read, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. You and I are from the happiness of Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't be sad. You are a source of happiness for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. And this is the most beautiful part of the surah, really. Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, number one is that you remember all these, you don't make yourself isolated. Number two is that you remind yourself of all the good things in the world. And number three is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Go pray to your Allah. You look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Anything that happens, either Makkah or Medina, Uhud, Badr, Khandaq, Khaybar, name any battle, name anything that happened in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Allah, Ya Allah, what should I do? My child just died. Pray. Ya Allah, what should I do? Badr is about to happen. Pray. What is going to? I just lost Sahaba and Uhud. What should you do? Pray. What, I just conquered Makkah. What should I do? Pray. Every single time in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's told, pray. Because the only way you'll find success is what? That you pray. We are not connecting to the source of happiness. This is what happens. We're trying to find happiness in ourselves, in our material. Material does not have the happiness in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all happiness. When you pray, that's when you'll start to feel the happiness and joy come back to your life. But how many times do we ever turn to prayer? It's the last thing. If you're talking about the book of plans that we have, A, B, C, D, all these other things. Z is like, maybe I'll pray. Maybe I'll make 2 rakats. But Nabi alayhi salam was told in every single moment of your life, happiness or sadness, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah will connect you back. Don't worry about people, don't worry about that. You cannot change it. You cannot change the fact that your child died. You cannot change the fact that you went through a sickness or a disease. You can't change the fact that you lost your job. You can't change these things. But you can pray. You have that control. No matter where you are in life, you can do that. You can do that. And when you pray every single day, inshallah, you'll find that experience and change. One heart and learn to sacrifice. Inna shaniyaka huwa al-abtar. And the final 2 points, inshallah, just to mention, is that Allah Ta'ala tells them at the end, is like, and by the way, don't worry. Your enemies are going to be cut off. Look at Abu Jahl, the enemy of the Prophet ﷺ. He was known as the Fir'aun of this ummah. He dies, his son accepts Islam. Ikrimah radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abi Jahl. Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, accepts Islam. Walid ibn Mughira, leader of the Quraysh, also enemy of the Prophet ﷺ. His son Khalid ibn Walid accepts Islam. Look at Abdullah bin Ubay, leader of the Munafiqeen. Allah Ta'ala makes his son accept Islam. Abdullah bin Ubay is gone. You never find anyone named their children Abu Lahab. You never find anyone name any of the children Abu Jahl. You never find anyone name anyone Mughira, right? These are just not names we choose never normally for our children. Because why? Because these are names of the enemies. Well, who the heck even knew these people? You know, no one even knows them. Allah Ta'ala leaves them all. He says, I cut all of them off. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever they try to spit at you, it's like they're trying to spit at the moon. The spit goes up and lands right on their face. They never lose. I mean, they never win. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never loses, alayhi salatu wasalam. So I want to remind everyone here, inshallah ta'ala, that remember that when you're going through any difficulty of life, never leave yourself alone. Secondly, is that you remind yourself of all the good things, because we have so many good. Allah did not put in this world except to give us ni'mah. And He takes away one or two things just to remind us of Him. And the third thing is that whenever you go through anything difficult, just pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't think of it as a bad thing. If you lose any children, Nabi alayhi salam told the woman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if you lose any child, you'll be reunited with your children in Jannah. Nabi alayhi salam said, even the child which was a miscarriage, you'll be reunited with those children of those that were miscarriages, and they will pull you to Jannah. Nabi alayhi salam reminded one Sahabiya came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, I suffer through epilepsy. Can you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't suffer through my epilepsy anymore? I go through seizures. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her, he says, I can make dua to Allah for you. I can make dua and you'll be completely cured. But if you make sabr, if you have patience, I promise you'll get Jannah at the end. What do you think she chose? She said, oh, forget it, I'll take the seizures and I'll get Jannah. They were different people. You know, I don't experience these types of things. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us afiyah and protection. No one wants to go through trials, but we have to go through in this life. Remind ourselves that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every single time a trial comes, that it makes from people shukr and sabr. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever any situation comes, He gives us an immediate solution, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We make dua to Allah ta'ala for any of our Muslim brothers and sisters who are suffering all over the world. Allah give them afiyah and protection, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we get the drink from the Hawd al-Kawthar Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who need to make sunnah, can do so, inshallah.